I'm grateful to God for allowing us to be together in His presence, to worship Him in spirit and truth. I'm grateful again for this opportunity that God has given me to present His message. You know, God is good in that He has given us this avenue of worship and fellowship during these dangerous times with the uncertainties of this virus. And so I'm glad you're on the line. This evening, my subject is some benefits of suffering. Some benefits of suffering. As Christians, we have numerous benefits in Christ, and we should never, ever forget them. But while we are here on this earth as Christians, we have the benefit of peace that comes from Jesus. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding. And while many of our psychologists today, many of them, they can't explain this peace and joy and love that we have. We have become rich in the love and joys of Christ, even in our afflictions. The idea of Jesus leaving the joys and riches of heaven. You know, He left heaven so we could become rich. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that through His poverty you might become rich. But with all the suffering going on in our world today, but with all the uncertainties in the world, especially with this COVID-19, many people are suffering. Many are suffering from mental anguish, the loss of loved ones unexpectedly, and not able to properly show their last respects for them. And all the suffering that has been here before this pandemic came on the scene. We as Christians, we know that there are many uncertainties in this life. That's why God commands that we as His children live by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, because there are benefits in Christ. And there are some benefits of suffering. Listen, there is no problem in life that is more universal, more common, more unique than that of suffering. Suffering is common for man. If we live long enough, we will experience some degree of suffering. And so this evening, let us allow God to show some ways suffering can benefit us. First, we can learn to have complete dependency on God. The benefit of learning to depend on God. See, if there's ever a time in life when men and women would quickly run and turn to God, it is when they are suffering. I mean, great men of the Bible always turned to God and leaned on Him when sufferings came their way. And we can learn this evening from Job. We know the suffering that Job endured. Trouble just came out of nowhere. In our text, Job 1, 6 through 12, the scripture says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. We do not know when or where Satan will show up in our life. The scripture goes on to say, and the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. Remember what Peter says? He's roaming about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, 1 Peter 5 and 8. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. I like how God speaks so well about His servant Job. And God speaks well about us, even this evening. Those of us who have dedicated our life to God, those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. See, God sees us as being blameless and upright before him. Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Has thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." That's right, Satan. That's right. God blessed Job in abundance. You know why? Because Job lived a righteous life before God. When we live right before God, when we live a blameless and upright life before him, blessings will flow. See, Job had a good life. And even with that good life, God knew that Job would always be ready to even suffer for him. Satan said, "But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse thee to thy face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Let me ask the question. Are we ready to suffer for God this evening? Are we ready to represent God's goodness, represent God's love and kindness and peace like Job was? I'm talking about the peace that surpasses all understanding, no matter how tough things may get. Are we ready? See, God knew that Job was ready. And let us understand this evening that there are benefits in suffering. See, Job lost all his children. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He lost all his cattle. Job was the richest man in all the East. He lost it all in one day. Verse 22 says, "Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God." In severe suffering, Job did not sin with his lips. Neither did he charge God foolishly, but he worshiped him. See, Job knew. He knew that God was his redeemer and that God would vindicate his cause. Later on in Job 42:10-17, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him. And they ate bread with him in his house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him 1 piece of money and each a ring of gold. And the Lord blessed the days of Job more than his beginnings. And he had so many sheep, so many camels. He was rich again. And he had 7 more sons. 3 daughters. Scripture says in that land there were no women found so beautiful as Job's daughters. And their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. The scripture says, and after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his grandsons 4 generations. And Job died, an old man full of days. There are some benefits of suffering. It's real. And we receive those benefits if we are living right for Jesus. But when we go to the book of Daniel, remember the prophet Daniel? When problems and threats of death came Daniel's way, he depended on God for his help. See, that's a benefit. Depending on God is a benefit when suffering comes our way. The king was about to appoint Daniel over the entire kingdom, but evil men established a statute and enforced an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or any man besides the king for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. In Daniel 6:10-11, the scripture says, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had previously. Then the men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Yeah, Daniel was caught praying to his God. Well, what happened to Daniel? Well, he walked into that den of lions, believing God, depending on God to help him in this grave situation. And God won the victory for him. See, by complete dependency on God, the victory was won. Daniel 6:22-23, Daniel said to the king, he said, "My God sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Insomuch I was found innocent before him, and also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime." Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Benefits of suffering this evening. We have some benefits when we hang in there and trust in God to deliver us like he did for Job and Daniel. Even the Apostle Paul. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. It was not God that sent his suffering on Paul. It was the devil. But God did not remove the thorn. He gave Paul the grace to bear it. But what are you saying? Well, God is telling Paul to bear the suffering. See, sometimes we must bear the suffering for the cause of Christ. Paul wrote to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 9. He said, "And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason," Paul says, "to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself." Paul says, concerning this, "I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." See, it was complete dependency on God that enabled the Apostle Paul to bear the thorn in his flesh and all the other problems of suffering that Paul encountered throughout his ministry. And Paul encountered many problems and troubles on his journey for the Lord. And so will we. But the bottom line is, when suffering comes our way, we have the benefit of turning to God, to put our complete dependency on him. The psalmist writes in the 46th division, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." See, during times of suffering or difficulties in our life, we have the benefit of turning it all over to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus will fix it. Another great benefit, we can inherit from suffering and from trying times, is the support of family. Yeah, the benefit of family support. There is no greater source of strength and help than that of a faithful family member standing by our side. When suffering comes, families must stick together. Families must patiently bear the long hours of concern and care for one another in life, never wavering, but always being there. We must learn to be there for one another. We must get better at supporting family or receiving support from family in a time of need. And we know some families are not getting along like they should. and maybe because of an unforgivable act. But we need to be on the front line, if you will, as soldiers of Christ when it comes to supporting our own family. We must forgive and move forward. Remember Joseph? Remember the dreamer in the scriptures? His brothers wanted to kill him because they were jealous of him, but instead they sold him into slavery. And we learn later that Joseph becomes a great man in Egypt. And when a famine came to the land, Joseph's brothers needed his help. We find in Genesis 45, 3 through 6, the scripture says, and Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. See, they hadn't seen him since they sold him into slavery. They thought he was dead. Verse 4 says, so Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near. And he said, I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Listen, family is a genuine source of benefits and encouragement. Families must learn to lean on each other. Even children must cooperate and patiently encourage and help the situation, which would make things better. It makes what seems like unbearable times so much easier when families support one another. But not only that, the benefit of your brothers and sisters in Christ. See, in times of severe pain and stress, when the way looks dark and depressing, what a comfort it is to know of the love, the concern and prayers of our brethren in Christ. Jesus, in Luke 8, 19 through 21, his mother and brothers were looking for him. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, the scripture says, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But Jesus answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. See, we need our brothers and sisters that are obeying the word of God. It is during these times that we learn what real love looks like, what real support looks like, real encouragement. And I'm sure this is how the Apostle Peter felt. Remember Peter, when he learned that while he was in prison, with all his sufferings and uncertainties, that the church was praying for him? Remember Herod in Acts chapter 12, Herod had just killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And so Peter's death was just a matter of time. The scripture says in Acts 12 and verse 5, so Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. See, we need good church folk in times of uncertainties. We need the prayers of the righteous. We need prayer warriors to get on the line with God because prayer is powerful. We always need the prayers of the righteous. And so the scripture goes on to teach us in verse 11 of Acts 12 that God sent an angel to rescue Peter. And so Peter survived the wicked hands of Herod. Prayer works. Peter later on said in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ. Peter said, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. See, as children of God, we must look for opportunities to help our brethren in the Lord Amen. When we see suffering coming their way, we must be there to support them. We must support one another. In other words, we share the sufferings of Christ. Therefore, we must suffer with our brethren and rejoice with them. Why? Because one day we will share in Christ's glory. But what else? Well, we have the benefit of learning from the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, while sufferings of this life may be severe, while there are troubles that will try our very souls, understand that they can in no way compare with the sufferings of Jesus. And so maybe we can come to appreciate even more Jesus and his love and sacrifice for us. So he became obedient unto death, the scripture says, even the death on a cross. Paul said in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. See, Jesus was literally nailed to a cross and left there to suffer and die. That's what happened to Jesus, our Lord. And understand that it was more than physical suffering, that Jesus also had mental struggles in dealing with his death, mental challenges, the anguish, the agony of punishment that would come upon him, because he knew. Matthew 26:39, as he prayed to his Father, the scripture says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. See, Jesus pleaded to the Father to let this cup pass. This was mental stress, mental suffering for our Lord Jesus. Listen, Jesus willingly left the riches of heaven. Paul said he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men and being found in the presence as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even a death on a cross. What suffering, what agony. Now maybe, just maybe, in our sufferings, we can in some small way come to appreciate that love and sacrifice even more. Maybe we can appreciate more what he went through to save a wretch like me and a wretch like you. Even in our sufferings, Jesus wants us to be better Christians so we can be a better example. We know that Jesus suffered unbearable scourging. We know that godless men punished him to the max. But we can learn in our times of suffering to be patient and humble like him. Man, what a benefit to have such a great example of suffering. See, Jesus overcame, and so should we. You see, we have benefits in suffering. We have the benefit of learning that the suffering does not compare to glory. Doesn't compare. It does not compare to glory. See, this is especially important principle that we can learn from suffering this evening. See, the sufferings here on earth do not compare with the suffering, with the glory that's going to follow. You see, the scriptures remind us time after time. See, the Apostle Paul suffered so much for the cause of Christ. And in our times of suffering, we too can relate to Paul as what he emphasized. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 14 through 18, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace which is spread into more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Paul says, for momentarily, light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul goes on to state in Romans 8, 16 through 18, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we also be glorified with him. Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And so we can understand this evening that whatever sufferings we undergo here are light and insignificant in comparison to our eternal glory. See, all sufferings of this present world don't last long, yet heaven is eternal. This is exactly why we need to learn this great benefit of suffering this evening. This is why we should endure patiently, knowing that by faithfully committing our lives to God, we can have a great reward in heaven. See, suffering is worth it all. Yes, suffering is the common lot of all humanity. And in suffering, we can learn things that we can't learn nowhere else. See, we can learn a deeper and more abiding faith in our Lord and a humbler trust in him. And despite the suffering of this world, we can cast all our cares on him. Peter says, 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. And in turning it all over to Jesus and waiting on him and always believing that he will work things out to our ultimate good, hey, we win. We win. Jesus said in Revelation 2 and 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulations for 10 years. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Those who are on the line this evening, we hope and pray that you recognize all the benefits that are in Jesus, even benefits of suffering. And so we pray that if Jesus is not your Lord, that you will obey his gospel message even this evening. Jesus invites you to come to him. This is the Savior's invitation. You've heard his word. You have to believe it and repent and make that great confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and be baptized into his death, and the Lord will add you to his church. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Romans 16:16, the scripture teaches us to greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. If you're a visitor and you're not a member of the church of Christ, allow Jesus to add your name to his church. See, allow Jesus to write your name in the book of life. And so when the roll is called up yonder, your name will be there. This is our plea to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. See, according to the scriptures, there is only one body, or one church, and we want you to know that this evening. Ephesians 1:22, the scripture says, and he put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head of all things to the church, comma, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul says again in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for in one spirit we are all baptized into one body. Don't make no difference who you are. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all are made to drink of one spirit. So if you have not been added by Jesus to his church, and only Jesus can add your name to his church. Only Jesus can write your name in the book of life. Revelation 20:12-13, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. Verse 15 says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Yes, this is serious. That's why Paul wrote to the church at Rome in Romans 6:17-18, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We gently plead with you this evening to obey the pattern of teaching that our Lord has given the world through his apostles' teaching. Let's hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized and wash away your sins. Acts 22:16, Ananias said to Paul, and why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. We will be singing a song of encouragement in just a minute. If you are a member of the Lord's church and you have a need to make a confession, we want you to come. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ and you are subject to the invitation, Jesus wants to add your name to his church and add you to the book of life. After we sing the song of invitation, let your intentions be made known as we sing. That's my lesson.